Welcome to the Sunday morning podcast from Kingdom Faith Church in Crawley.
We've been doing a series entitled The Engine Room, and today I don't want to preach, I want to teach. So I might be a little bit slower than I'm used. I might be a little bit less animated than I'm used to being, just to ensure that it lands softly and slowly and sinks somewhere deep in your heart of hearts, in your spirit. A few weeks ago, I was in prayer and I was asking the Lord a few questions, and the answer God gave me is not what I was expecting. It is a dangerous thing to ask God questions because sometimes He will answer in the way you least expect Him to. I was born in revival. I grew up in a house where God moved, where miracles happened. It was amazing. My dad right now is almost retiring. He's a minister of the gospel. My mom is a prophetic intercessor. And we used to have meetings every single day in our household for as long as I can remember. And weekly meetings where people would come for what used to call fellowships or home groups. And things used to happen. I belong to a church where there was a mighty move of God. For those who do not know, Emma and I met in Sunday school. So we grew up in that church, in that environment where God used to move. In fact, recently when we were back in Africa for a holiday, we met a young man who was born mute and deaf and crippled on his both feet. And people in the church prayed for him. God healed him, completely delivered him, and now he doesn't even like using vehicles. He likes walking everywhere. He walked like about 25 miles that day to be with us that morning or that afternoon, because that is the kind of an environment I grew up in. Miracles used to happen. I've testified of how my mom was healed of a terminal condition. I've testified of how Emma's mom was healed of a debilitating condition. That is the kind of an environment I grew up in. Many times we would go on missions to preach the gospel to the nations. We saw the blind see. We saw the deaf hear. I remember in India in 2018, it was so difficult preaching and penetrating with the gospel. But one evening after showing the Jesus film, a young girl called Lakshmi, who had been born deaf and mute, got healed and unstopped by the power of God immediately. And the whole village opened up and were able to preach Jesus, and people got saved. So these are not things I hear of. They are not things I see on TV. They are things I have experienced and walked in the goodness of. So therefore then, a few weeks ago, I began asking God, God, why is there less of this in our day? Why is it that we do not see miracles happening as they used to happen a long time ago? In fact, the Bible is very clear that God works with times and seasons. But my question was, Lord, why is this not the season of miracles? That people have become so desperate. In any case, they are now faking miracles because they are not true and authentic miracles. For those who've been in Kingdom Faith for a while, you know that Kingdom Faith was known as a house of revival. In fact, Foundry Lane used to be called the National Revival Center. Faith camps, the power of God used to descend, miracles used to happen. The other day, I was revisiting the testimony of our brother Gary Gibbons, if you know Gary from the Horsham congregation, who got healed of a condition that is still being investigated right now by American researchers. And all it took was for Pastor Colin Urquhart to pray for him through a word of knowledge, and he got healed immediately. He had been given days to live. And I'm like, God, what is happening? Habakkuk says, I have heard of your works in the days of old. Revive your works in our day, O God. Revive us. I'm a student of revival. I like reading about revivals and what happened. You've heard of Welsh revival last century, where people got saved so much so that for like about 100 days or however many days that there was that revival, there was not a single pub open in that area. The policemen went on leave because there was no crime. I've heard of times when some men of God, and I dare not mention their names because I will either slaughter their names or I will mention the wrong name. They used to walk into a town, or I heard of one story. I don't know if it's Victoria Station or Liverpool Station. Was it Smith Wigglesworth or whoever it was? Walks into it and everybody in that area starts crying, asking God for repairment, for salvation. What happened? And so I was in a place of prayer asking God, why are we not seeing this, Lord? And also, God, why is Brazil right now in revival? Why is it when we go to places, some places in Africa or in Asia, we see miracles happening, popping like popcorns, but when we come to England, even praying for a headache to go is a problem? And I began to seek God, and I believe we are on the threshold of a move of God. But God asked me a question, and he asked me, where is my honor? And so this morning, to wrap up the Engine Room series, God has given me a message about the culture of honor. Because God is a loving father. God is a caring father. The Bible says, no good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly before him. Bible's in the book of Acts chapter 3 that repent ye and be converted, that seasons of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. So God is not a stingy God. God is not a God who would want us to see suffer, praying, yearning, and always hoping for something that looks like a mirage. But on the other hand, our God is a God of order. And our God is a God of principles. He will not break his word. The Bible says, even if we are unfaithful, he will still remain faithful to himself and he will fulfill his word. So when he says that my ears are not dull that I cannot hear you, my eyes are not dim that I cannot see you, but your sin has made a separation between you and I, then he will not move because his nature is faithfulness, but God will not go against his word. So this morning I want to wrap up the Engine Room and say this. We've been talking about the Engine Room and talking about how to experience the power of God, the move of God and mighty manifestation, so on and so forth. But until and unless we come to that place where each and every one of us honors God on a moment by moment basis, we will not experience it. Because every move of God requires an atmosphere. So when we pray, Lord, send revival. Lord, send your power. Lord, do this and that. And God is asking, have you got the atmosphere to carry what you are asking me to release to you? I like Dr. Miles Monroe, may his soul rest in peace. He says, unfortunately, success has made failures of men than any other thing known in the world. So you're asking for revival. Are you ready to receive what I'm just about to do? 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 21, the Bible says, if anyone cleanses himself from what is dishonorable, he will be a vessel for honor, set apart as holy, useful to the master, and ready for every good work. So God is not looking for vessels of power. He's looking for vessels for honor. 2 Chronicles or 1 Chronicles chapter 29, I don't have it, don't worry about it. Bible says that power, honor, glory, victory belong to the Lord. But we are very keen on the power and the victory. And we forget that power and victory on the other side is glory and honor. So we want more power, but God is asking, if you want my power, where is my honor? You want my victory, God is asking, where is my glory? So when we hold a posture of dishonor, we create a barrier in our spirit that halts or stops the move of God. One time I had a picture when we were praying, I can't remember when, it's a few months ago, of a pipe that has very clean water flowing through it. But at some point there was this blockage. And people on the other side waiting to receive the water that was coming could not receive anything, not even a single drop. And I had God say, I think it was one of the encounter nights, and I had God say in my spirit, remove the blockage. The power of God is still there. But dishonor creates a blockage. So what is honor? In the Old Testament, the primary Hebrew word used for honor is a word that we might have heard, kabod, derived from the root kabad, which literally means heavy or weighty. So we tend to use the word kabod to talk about the weight of the glory of God. You know, there's a boy in the Bible called Ichabod. That boy who was born when the Ark of the Covenant was captured, the mother named him Ichabod to say that the glory has departed from Israel. So that word kabod there is the same word for honor, which means the weight of the glory of God, the weight of the presence of God. So to honor God or to honor people means to treat them as valuable, as glorious, and as significant. In the New Testament, the word used for honor is time, which is time, T-I-M, like the way you write the word time, but it's pronounced time, which means to fix a value upon someone or something, to treat as precious or to appreciate at a high price. So therefore, to dishonor means to treat something as light, as trivial, as cheap, as insignificant. It means to treat something as common and worthless. So when God asked me, where is my honor? I just, in my spirit, I have this revelation that we have trivialized the things of God. We have commonized what should remain holy. Are you still happy you came to church this morning? Today it's not a happy clappy message. I told you I'm not preaching, I'm just teaching. But I know that God wants me to deliver this. I've carried it for a while, so I know I've got the grace to release it. We treat as light his presence. There is an old hymn, I don't think it's a hymn, it says, honor this moment of prayer. As in like, when we get into some moments, we need to be in awe and reverence. Where is the fear of God? So how do we build a culture of honor? And God put in my heart three dimensions. Dimension number one is honor God above everything. Revelation chapter 4 and verse 11. The Bible has so much to say about honoring God. From Genesis to Revelation. And God says, my glory, my honor, I will share with nobody. So honor God. Revelation 4:11 says, you are worthy. That's what we've been singing just this morning. You are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, and on it goes. Fear God. Honor him for who he is. Ask yourself, in the way I live my life every single morning, do I honor God? When people look at me, do they see God? Do I profane the name of the Lord? Do I make the Lord ashamed because of how I talk, of how I walk, of how I do my affairs? If God was to come to your workplace as a client, would he be ashamed to be served by you? If God was to come to your family and listen to the conversations you have at the dinner table, would he be ashamed of being called your God? In the book of Hebrews, the Bible talks about the heroes of faith, and God says that God is not ashamed to be called their God because they all held on to his promises. Proverbs 3 and verse 9. Another example. I'm just giving two examples and I'll move on. Honor the Lord with your wealth, for example. By the way, I'm not doing a campaign for giving. So this is not manipulation, coercion, or control. I'm just talking the word of God. And thank you very much for those of you who've been giving towards New Day. I was notified by the office team that some money has come in. May the Lord richly bless you. Give, and it will come back to you. Full measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. The Bible says, shall men pour at your bosom. For the same measure you used to give, the same measure will be used to give to you. So thank you very much. The Bible says the Lord loves a cheerful giver. God loves you. Thank you for making it possible for the youth to go to New Day. Oh, and by the way, if you still want to give, the door is still open. Amen. But this morning, I'm not talking about manipulation, control, or one of those so-called prosperity gospel where I can preach a hurricane and get the money out of your pockets and out of your bank accounts in no time. I'm just telling you the word of God. It says, honor the Lord. I like the version that says, with your substance. So it's everything you have. The Bible says, with the first fruit of all your crops. In other words, God is saying to us that honor me with everything, with who you are. Honor me with the little that you have in your fridge. Honor me with the little that you have in your account. Honor me that you have in your fields. Honor me with the little education you have. Honor me with the little resources, skill sets, the abilities, the talents, the gifts that you have. Honor me with your substance. There are some verses in the Bible, sometimes I read them and I shudder. Like one verse that I will not give to you today that says, if you don't serve the Lord, you will serve your enemies. And I look at some people, and I think I've preached that from this pulpit a time before. Sometimes God gives people talents and gifts, but because they choose not to honor the Lord, we know what happens to them. Gifted, talented musicians. We all know what happens. So God says, honor me with every fiber of your being. If I be your God, where is my honor? That's the next verse. Malachi chapter 1 and verse 6. You see, I'm going to come to dimension number 2, which is honoring people. But before that, you cannot honor people if you do not honor God. In fact, the Bible says, how can you say you love God when you cannot love another person? So what flows vertically flows horizontally. So we must restore the honor for God. Malachi 1:6, because I perceive this morning that God is asking us, or rather God, just a minute, God is so much so keen about his honor. He is not asking us, do you want me to bless what you are doing? But rather, how do I receive honor in what you are doing? Malachi 1:6, a son honors his father, and a servant his master. But if I am a father, where is my honor? If I am a master, where is your fear of me? The fear of God is not being afraid of God. It is holding him in awe and reverence. It is giving him the preeminence in your life. The first place in your life. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Just remember the anchor word that we had last year from the book of Proverbs. If you give him the right place, then everything else will fall into place. A Nigerian writer by the name of Chinua Achebe wrote a book called Things Fall Apart. And in that book he says, when the center does not hold, things fall apart. If Christ is not the center of your life, if the honor for God is not the integral part of your life, everything in your life will fall apart. I'm not a prophet of doom. I'm just declaring the principles of God. So give God the preeminence. Give him the main principle. Let him be the main thing in your life. Keep the first things first. And everything else will fall into place. You see, many times, we knowingly or unknowingly take ourselves out of the will of God. And when we take ourselves out of the will of God, then things begin to happen to us. And it's not because God is unfaithful, but it's because we've removed ourselves from God's covering. He who dwells in the secret place of the Almighty shall abide under the shadows, of the Almighty. So if you remove yourself, just think about a mother hen. All right, trying to protect the chicks. If a chick decides to go out underneath the wings of the mother hen, and then a hawk or a predator sees it, may the Lord have mercy on it. Not because the mother was unloving, not because the mother was unfaithful, but because the chick chose to walk away. If I be your master, where is the fear of me? If I be your father, where is my honor? So I began to ask God, then, Lord, how can we honor you? And God put something in my spirit that the greatest danger to honor today for most believers is familiarity with God. We treat things that are holy as common. I've explained to you many times that the Bible says that the work of the priest is to teach people the difference between what is unholy and common, and what is common and holy. So many times we treat what belongs to God as just common, because we rarely dishonor what we don't know. We always dishonor who we know and what we know. I'll give you an example. Matthew chapter 13, verse 54 to verse 58. Bible talks about Jesus. He returns to his hometown, and the people are amazed by the wisdom and by the miracles. But then familiarity takes over, and they start to ask, is this not the carpenter's son? They knew him. They knew him when he was in his diapers. They knew him when he was crawling and walking around. They had seen him grow. They knew his father. They knew his mother. In fact, they were not people of a high standard. In fact, they were so poor. The Bible says when they went to take the burnt offering to the temple, they could only take a pigeon. Now, time will fail me to tell you about the hierarchy of the burnt offering, but pigeons were the offering for the poorest in the community. So the Bible says, they said, is this not the carpenter's son? They knew his background. They knew his family. They knew his history. They knew how many times, figuratively speaking, the police had been called to their address. They knew how many times the ambulance had been called to their address. They knew how many times the kid has been sent home. They knew how many times this and that. And so they did not recognize, and did not recognize him for who he was. They saw the carpenter, they missed the Christ. They saw the familiar, and they blocked the supernatural. And Matthew records there, he did not do many mighty works there because of their unbelief. Notice this, Jesus did not lose his power. The Bible talks about the same Jesus being in another village and healing everybody in that village. Yet in his village, in fact, Mark says he did not do any miracles except heal a few sick people. I think it's Mark chapter 6, the synoptic of this. What is my point here? Dishonor limited their ability to receive from God. So when we dishonor God, we reduce him and we make it not possible to experience his power. We do not receive from God. 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verse 30, Bible says, I will honor those who honor me. So how are you honoring God in your life? Dimension number 2. Honoring those God has appointed. And once again, I give a disclaimer. I'm not here to campaign for myself as a pastor. I'm not here to campaign for my boss, Pastor Clive and Jane. I'm not here to campaign for any man of God. I'm here to give you the principles of the Word of God. Because right application of the Word of God leads to right living. You cannot dishonor the vessel that God has appointed and expect to partake the oil in that vessel. 1 Thessalonians 5, 12 to 13. I'm going to read from two versions. I'm going to read first from the NLT, and then I'm going to read from the Message version. You see, when I'm preparing, because I prepare for my messages. I don't just rock up on a Sunday morning. I pray, I fast, I read, I study. And I was reading some versions, and these two versions were very interesting. 1 Thessalonians 5, 12 to 13 says, dear brothers and sisters, honor those who are your leaders in the Lord's work. They work hard among you and give you spiritual guidance. Show them great respect and wholehearted love because of their work. Now the Message translation says, and now friends, we ask you to honor those leaders who work so hard for you. You see, we work for you. We are here to serve you. Who have been given the responsibility of urging and guiding you along in your obedience. Overwhelm them with appreciation and love. You see, for every person that God appoints in your life, it's a delegated authority from God for you. You receive them as a gift from God, you receive the gift from God. You despise them, then you don't receive it. And in fact, I heard one person say, I can't remember who it was, who said, the anointing you despise cannot spice you. I think it was JD. The anointing you despise cannot spice you. And I'm not just talking in terms of the Kingdom Faith Church context. I'm talking about the body of Christ, because I know we've come from different places. And look at the revivals of old. Many times when these revivals have been extinguished, it's because familiarity with God came in. They began to expect these things to happen. They commonized what was supernatural, or there were squabbles about the leader of the revival. 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 17, the Bible says, the elders who direct the affairs of the church, well, are worthy of double honor, especially those whose work is preaching and teaching. This is the word of God. It is in your Bible. But there's a caveat here. It says those who direct the affairs of the church well. So in other words, the elders are also called to be faithful stewards of God's work. So if they be faithful before God, then it is our responsibility to honor them. We can disagree with them, but we still honor them. Matthew 10, verse 41. He who receives a prophet in the name of a prophet, that is Jesus speaking, he who receives a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And he who receives a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. The gift you frown upon can never be beneficial to you. The gift you despise cannot be profitable to you. So here, figuratively speaking, saying a prophet, it's he who receives a servant of God in the name of a servant of God shall receive that servant's reward. Whoever receives a righteous person in the name of a righteous person shall receive a righteous person's reward. You know, many times I find we become too familiar with who God, I'm not talking about myself, now this is me preaching to myself, with who God has put over us. And I sometimes keep reminding myself for argument's sake, Pastor Clive, we can laugh, we can have coffee together, or he likes his chai latte, we can have our chai latte together and all these kind of things. We can share some jokes, but I know and I recognize the anointing on your life. I know the mandate and the assignment you carry, because the flow of the anointing is not restricted to God's willingness to give, but on our ability to receive. Let me show you something. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 17. Because dishonor acts like an insulator to the power of God. You know, when you insulate yourself, that no matter how high the voltage is, it doesn't touch you. That is how dishonor works. Obey your spiritual leaders and submit to them, recognizing their authority over you, for they are keeping watch over your souls and continually guarding your spiritual welfare as those who will give an account of their stewardship of you. Let them do this with joy and not with grief and groans, for this would be of no benefit to you. Honoring leaders does not mean that the leaders are flawless. It means we recognize God's grace and anointing upon them, because every leader is a person. And every person, including yourself, because you carry something from God, you should not be treated casually. So I've got a few questions for reflections for you here. Ask yourself, do I make it easier or harder for those carrying spiritual responsibility? Because we can talk about revival, we can preach revival, sing revival, but until we recognize God's order, the Bible says, let everything be done in order and decency. Until we recognize God's order, that is not going to happen. Do I carry the vision of the house, or do I criticize? You know, there are so many people who are very quick to criticize. I've been there myself. In fact, there is one person who told me, you have a critical spirit. You just need to go to my Facebook and know that. I come in peace. That's how I usually start my stingy posts. Somebody said that if somebody says, I come in peace, wait for violence. If someone says to you, with all due respect, wait for the disrespect. So I kept on posting things on Facebook, and one man of God called me and said, I'm not saying I discern. I think you have a critical spirit. And I had to take time to reflect. And I actually saw it was true. Now I don't write anything before I pray about it. Because there are so many of us who are very quick to criticize, but very few pray. And I know time is moving on. Let me just move on with this. So therefore then, how can we honor those God has put over us? Number one is reject a critical spirit. You see, a critical spirit makes you blind to what God is doing. Bible talks about a man of God called Moses. And Moses, in Numbers chapter 12, read the story later on. I think Visual Bible Journeys, we've just done Numbers, right? Yep. Numbers chapter 12, Moses decides to marry an Egyptian woman. Was it Egyptian woman? Or Ethiopian woman or whatever? That one. And the elder sister and brother decide to have a day criticizing Moses. Verse number 2 says, has the Lord spoken only through Moses? They asked. Hasn't he spoken also through us? And the Bible says, and the Lord heard this. The next line, I don't have it on the screen here, but it says that Moses, in the eyes of God, he was the most humble man on the face of the earth. You see, you gotta be careful. Let me show you something before I go back to the story of Moses. Romans chapter 14 and verse 4. Romans 14 and verse 4. The Bible asks, who are you to judge the servant of another? To his own master, he stands or falls. And he will stand, for the Lord is able to make him stand. One time in our house, when Kyla was newly born, we received some visitors, one from Belgium and another one from London. And we started talking about ministry. And in our conversations, we talked about a certain ministry where I used to serve. I used to play bass guitar in that particular ministry. And I stopped because of an offense. I stopped serving. And it so happened that the lady who had come from London also used to serve in the hospitality ministry in that particular team as well, in that particular ministry as well. She was in the hospitality team. She stopped serving because of a similar but a different kind of an offense. So two people had offended us and separately, but on the same wavelength, so to speak. And so we slandered the ministry. We slandered the ministry leaders. Before these visitors left, that woman from Belgium, as we were praying, the Holy Spirit instructed her that we needed to repent. You could have felt conviction fall in our living room. It was so heavy that we couldn't even pray. There was groaning from our spirits. And we had to repent for the slander we had done. Was that minister in our living room? Absolutely not. But God was in our living room. Who are you to judge another person's servant? Before his master, he rises and falls. In fact, there is a version that says his master chastiseth him. So who are we? And the Bible says, but he will stand, for the Lord is able to make him stand. So Moses has done something that the sister and the brother are not pleased with. And they complain and they murmur and they whinge. And the Bible says, and God heard this and judgment came forth immediately. So listen to this. They were not denying God. They were not denying or questioning God's order. Their problem was being critical. God also speaks through me. I can also preach. I can also sing. I can also play the piano. I can play the keyboard. I can serve tea. I can do this. I can do that. Are they the only ones? Who do they think they are? And God heard from heaven. And Miriam had to be sent outside the camp for 7 days because she became a leper. For Aaron, God had mercy on him because the Bible says of the evening sacrifice, he had to do the sacrifice. So what is my point here? Don't become familiar with God and don't become familiar with his servants. If you see a fault or a weakness in their lives, take it to God in prayer. The Bible talks about, do you know what the Bible says? There are 7 things the Lord hates. Do you guys read your Bible? By the way, before I forget, we've got the calendars, Bible reading plan for August. We are doing a spiritual MOT. Please go through that calendar together with what we have online. Online, there are some questions to help you examine yourself. But there are some 7 things the Lord hates. And among them is, of course, hands that shed innocent blood, but the Lord hates a lying tongue. So gossipers, because most of the time gossip is usually fueled by hatred, critical spirit, and it's carried around by fools. Usually most of the time the content is not true. So before you gossip it to people, gossip it to God. Take it to God in prayer. God hears conversation no one else hears. God hears the conversations in your car, in your bedroom, in your WhatsApp group. He can see the chats that you send to your people and delete. For those of you who do Snapchat, I don't know how Snapchat works, but I know chats disappear after some time. Newsflash, God sees it. You can delete and delete for myself and others, delete for everyone, but God sees it. You type, and then delete. God saw it. He sees and hears the conversation in our hearts. So critical spirit is dangerous because it numbs our spiritual sensitivities. And God confronted these people. I want to go to the next one and then conclude this. So ask yourself, do I have a critical spirit? Am I overly critical? Can I recognize someone's weakness without despising their calling? We are all human. God did not appoint an angel to be your pastor. He appointed a young man from the slopes of Mount Kenya with an accent and maybe some mannerism and habits you don't like. I have my weaknesses. But can you spot my weaknesses without despising my calling? I'm just using myself as an example. Whoever God puts in your life is a spiritual figure or authority. Even in the teams where we serve, and I'm not campaigning for my team leaders, they are all wonderful people. Can you serve in a certain team without despising your leader? Always being very critical to judge. There are some people who always bring problems for every solution. You try to suggest A, they bring a problem. You try to suggest B, they bring a problem. Even in your workplace. I remember one time I worked in a team where that time I was actually a deputy manager. And I remember being called into an office to sit in a disciplinary meeting. And one of the lady who was being disciplined, their only accusation was not working as part of a team. And I was like, wow, is there such an offense in England? I never knew there was one. But the list of items listed there, every suggestion, she shoots it down. She's like a sniper. Oh, bang, take it down. Sometimes she will come with a scatter gun. Brrr, no hope. You try to come up with suggestions of how to do your Christmas party. She's the one who's telling you how it cannot be done. You try to say, can we go to the Crown Plaza? No, I don't think they don't make very good food. Okay, let's go to Harvesters. Oh, I don't like their chairs. Can I disagree honorably without dishonoring or disrespecting the other person? Your leaders don't have the monopoly of ideas. Sometimes you will disagree with them. But can you disagree with the ideas without dishonoring them? I don't always agree with what my leaders tell me sometimes. But how do I disagree with them? I have to be honorable to them, knowing that they are doing it right before God. Maybe that is the only way they know how to do it. But I bring my perspective. and they bring their perspective. We pray about it. God breaks a stalemate. We have a solution. I could have gone on and on and on. But let me go to dimension number 3. Honoring one another. Romans chapter 12 and verse 10, the Bible says, be eager to show honor to one another. You know, the way you are so eager to go on that holiday, the way you are so eager maybe to go to McDonald's after church today, or the way you are so eager to do something tonight, the way you are so eager to finish watching that series, for those of you who are watching the Lincoln Lawyer series 5, you know, the way you're so eager to go home and watch something. The Bible says, be eager to show honor to one another. How can I honor you today? I showed you in the Bible, there are some people who go to bed to craft ways of how to be evil to others. Now the Bible is saying, when I wake up in the morning, how can I be honorable to you? How can I show honor to you? Be eager. In fact, some other versions say, outdo each other in showing honor. So if there be a competition in this congregation, let there be a competition of loving and honoring one another. Because spiritual maturity is not measured by how gifted we are, but how Christ-like we are. How honorable are you? Because honor is what keeps us together. Youth, consecrate. There is a verse I learned when I was only 6 years old. I memorized it. Because honor has to be in families as well. Actually, that way it starts. If you're not honorable in your family, it's least likely you're going to be honorable in church. It's least likely you're going to honor your teachers and your mates or your teammates. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1 and verse 2. Where are the youth? Show me by your hand. Oh, thank you. Can see, yeah, thank you. Bible says, children, obey your parents in the Lord. I would have taken time to break that down in the Lord. You are not obeying them in your emotions. You're not obeying them in the house. You're not obeying them in the situation. You are obeying them in the Lord. For this is right. Then Paul quotes Moses and he says, honor your father and mother. Now, I know all of us here were born and maybe some of us, our parents are still alive. So honor your parents. And he says, for this is the first commandment with a promise. And what is a promise? That it may go well with you and that you may live long. I just wanted to labor hard a little bit on that for the youth. I'm going to ask you a question. Do you obey your parents at home?
Yeah.
Thank you. At least you go one person who obeys. Or do you have to be reminded 6, 7 times and by the 10th time your parents are blowing the fuse because of how hot it has become? Do you honor them? Now, obeying is a deed. It's something you do. Honor is an attitude of heart and mind. In your heart, do you honor your parents? Not for anything else, but simply for the simple reason that God wants you to do it. Praise the name of Jesus. I know I'm a son to my parents, so this also applies to me. Number 2, 1 Peter 3, 1 to 7, the Bible says, in the same way, now, got to be careful here. When I taught about submission, I taught about what in the Bible we call household rules. And I went to a great extent. Please go back to our podcast and listen to the podcast on submission. Now, these household rules, I want us to understand the idea is not to subjugate or to subdue. It is to bring order in relationships. Okay, as God would have them. 1 Peter, I'm going to read chapter 3, verse 1 to verse 7. The Bible says, in the same way, you wives, you must accept the authority of your husbands. Ah, Emma, you didn't say amen. Oh, sorry. Then, even if some refuse to obey the good news. Some Bible says, some other versions say, even if they refuse to obey the word or the gospel, your godly lives will speak to them without any words. So for those of us here who have unsaved spouses, look at what the Bible is saying. They will be won over by observing your pure and reverent lives. Don't be concerned about the outward beauty of fancy hairstyles, expensive jewelry, or beautiful clothes. But the adorning that you have, verse number 4 says, you should clothe yourself instead with the beauty that comes from within, and the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit. This is so precious to God. I was going to say something, but I discovered I'm in church, I might get into trouble, so I'll not say it. But I'll say it because it's in the Bible. The Bible talks about a time in the book of Revelation when there is nothing happening. There is quiet for like about 30 minutes. Nothing is happening. And a young man went to his pastor and he asked, how can it be that there is quiet in heaven? And the pastor said, maybe the women had not arrived. That's why I said it's a joke with a light touch. Please don't crucify me. I told you I have many weaknesses. Please pray for me. Some of you will get the joke on your way home. So it says, which is so precious to God. Verse 5, this is how the holy women of old made themselves beautiful. Of course, they adorned themselves. In fact, the Bible says some of them like Vashti. The Bible says that Vashti was beautiful to behold. As in like you could just look at her and you would wonder and praise the Lord that God can do this kind of a work. That's what the Bible says. But beyond that, the Bible says they made themselves beautiful inwardly. They put their trust in God and accepted the authority of their husbands. Number 6, for instance, Sarah obeyed her husband Abraham and called him her master. You are her daughters. Women in the church, you are the daughters of Sarah. You are her daughters when you do what is right without fear of what your husband might do. This is not a marriage seminar. We've got children here. I will move on. Verse number 7. In the same way, husbands, you must give honor to your wives. Amen. Treat your wife with understanding as you live together. She may be weaker than you are, but she is your equal partner in God's gift of new life. Treat her as you should, so your prayers will not be hindered. In other words, revival is coming. Are we ready for it? When God looks at our living rooms, is there capacity for revival? When God looks at our bedrooms, is there capacity for revival? When God looks at how we conduct our affairs in the church, are we honoring each other? Because if we are not honoring each other, there is no space for revival. The heart that refuses to honor will refuse to submit. So dishonor at home causes blockages in the church. It causes blockages in the workplaces. And verse 7 there says, lest your prayers be hindered. So I'm calling upon everyone today to just examine yourself. Am I walking in honor or am I hindering my prayers? So the question becomes one of, how do I handle the weaknesses of other people I'm relating with? I want to finish with this short story, and then we're going to do Holy Communion. There was a man called Noah in the book of Genesis chapter 9. And when Noah, is it chapter 8 or chapter 9? When Noah comes out of the tent, out of the ark, the Bible says he was a man of the soil. He was a farmer. He planted a vineyard and he used to enjoy his wine. And one of these fine days, he had one too many. He just wanted to have a glass maybe. And before he knew it, two bottles were down. And the Bible says he got drunk. When he got drunk, he lay in his tent, and unfortunately, his clothes came off. Noah had 3 children, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The middle one, Ham, went into the tent. When he went into the tent, he saw his father naked. And he was like, oh my God, look at this man. He's just so drunk. And you know, he saw the anatomy and the physiology and everything else, or whatever you call it. And he went back to his brothers. He said, come I show you. But his brothers said, no, we can't do this. The Bible says they took a blanket and they walked backwards and they covered their father's nakedness. I've got a question for you. Are you quick to expose or quick to cover? Because you will see some flesh. You will see some weakness. You will see some nakedness. You will see some failures. In fact, one of the graces I'm believing God for is a grace of good memory. Sometimes I say, I will call you back. I forget. If I don't write it down, sometimes I forget. I will text you back. Sometimes I want to text and I forget. You will see some weakness in the person you're working with. The question is, are you quick to expose or to cover? Honor covers, but dishonor exposes. So God is saying, before you say to your next person, did you hear what so-and-so did? Have you seen their photos on Facebook? Have you seen them on, is it called TikTok? Have you seen what they're doing on TikTok? God is saying, let's first of all cover this person in prayer. And then we can talk about it later. There are many harms, but very few Shems and Japheth in the church today. A culture of honor covers, the Bible says love covers a multitude of sin. And if you go back to that story, unfortunately when Noah woke up and understood what had happened, he cursed the descendants of Ham. In fact, he first of all cursed his son Canaan. And if you go back, you will see that all these places, Sodom and Gomorrah and all those other places, they were actually the descendants of Ham. And he blessed Shem and Japheth. In fact, Abraham, a few chapters later on, comes from the lineage of Shem. That's what you normally call Semites. If you dishonor, you invite trouble in your own life. And never forget this. Give and it will come back to you. Full measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over. You give dishonor, you wait for your payday. It will come back. Full measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. I want us to pray. Just bow down for a word of prayer. Maybe this is not the kind of a message you were expecting because I've just taught and not given you some punchy, preachy kind of lines. But just ask yourself for a moment, what do I do when I see someone's weakness? What do I do when I see my leaders fail? Do I broadcast it? Do I build a case against them? Do I justify my bitterness and my offense? Or do I cover their nakedness and pray for them and support them in being restored? When I see a brother or a sister who's struggling with something, maybe it's too much alcohol, maybe it's drugs, they are stumbling and falling, do I just criticize, cast them out, or do I work towards seeing them being restored into the fellowship? The measure of your maturity is not how you respond to someone's strength. It is how you respond to their weakness. Because we can all be very good at faking it and showing how strong we are when we know that inwardly we are just so weak. So please give me a pad or that song that we sang earlier about the blood of Jesus. So let's be a church that prays before we criticize. Let's be a church that covers before we expose. Let's be a church that serves before we seek recognition. Let's be a church that celebrates one another and not puts each other down. For this is an atmosphere where God brings his revival. So ask yourself, have I become familiar with the things that I should still be honoring? Have I become familiar with the word of God? Have I become familiar with prayer, with worship? I just come to church. I don't even honor the room where we meet. I don't honor the environment. I'm just here, hands in the pocket, chewing gum, oblivious that I am in the presence of the King of Kings. And I'm not saying that because I've seen anyone do that. When we're worshiping, I like looking at the front of the screen. Do I honor the presence of God? Do I honor the people God has placed around me? Do I honor the spiritual leaders God has given to watch over my spiritual well-being? Because sometimes the greatest miracle killer is not the enemy attacking you. It is our hearts becoming casual with God and dishonoring him and the people around us. Father, today we come before you. We are sorry for the many times you've walked in dishonor and disobedience. This morning we pray that, Lord, you may forgive us. Where we have dishonored each other, slandered each other, we have dishonored our parents, disrespected them, Lord, we ask for your forgiveness. Where we have dishonored our children, We have dishonored our spouses, Lord, forgive us. We have dishonored our leaders. We've been very critical, Lord, sometimes very unguarded mouths, just, you know, being very quick to say things before we even take time to pray and ponder over it. Bible says that by your words you shall be condemned, by your word you shall be judged. Lord, forgive us today. And times when we've dishonored you, dishonored your name. Sometimes we've even made other people to dishonor you because we have dishonored you. We ask for your forgiveness. Forgive us, Lord. And I pray that this culture of honor will run through our veins, will run in this church, in our families. Husbands will honor their wives, wives will honor their husbands, children will honor their parents, and parents will honor their children. We'll honor each other's as brothers and sisters and members of God's household. We'll honor our leaders, our team leaders, our leaders wherever we work, in the congregations, wherever we go to church. We'll honor and recognize the anointing and the gift of God upon them. Because you know that each one of these servants rises and falls before his master. Who are we to judge and condemn? We are here to pray, to support, to encourage. Give us a capacity to receive your revival.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources from Kingdom Faith and our other audio and video podcasts, please visit www.kingdomfaith.com.